Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, come all ye who this morning are tired. Come ye who are guilty. Come ye who feel like you've lost hope. Come ye who need some good news, because I have some. I have the best news you're ever going to hear. Jesus is about to speak, and he's going to speak to you the most important things you will ever need to know. Wake up. Be prepared to shed the guilt. Be prepared to embrace hope. Jesus has the microphone, if you will. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." God Almighty in the flesh, the person Jesus Christ, who is man and God, says this to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Now, all kinds of people try and fill you with false hope all the time. Everybody's trying to sell you something. Hey, here's something that's going to make you feel better. Maybe it's going to numb you for a while. Maybe it's going to promise you delayed gratification way off in the future. Maybe I'm lying. Maybe this is all nonsense. But they always tell you, you know, cheer up. But God Almighty is telling you this today. Let not your hearts be troubled, because I've got something really good to tell you. Believe in my Father and also believe in me. The text continues, "In my Father's house there are many rooms. And if this were not so, would I tell you that I go to prepare a place for you?" He's asking them, and you, am I lying? Am I the kind of guy who lies? Am I the one that you can't trust? Because you trust a lot of other people who are liars, don't you, right? But am I the guy you can't trust? If this wasn't happening, would I be telling you this? "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." I'm going, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm coming back. Now, you and I don't know what that means exactly. We don't know what it means that he's preparing a place for us. But what we do get from that sentence is there is a place for you. And it is with Christ eternally. And this is the good news. How long does it take him to prepare? I don't know. He spoke and created all creation, right? He spoke and there was land. And there were plants. And there were lights in the heaven and all of these kind of things. He spoke and did it. What does it mean that he's preparing your place? I'm not sure. But I do know that he is preparing a place, and it's for you. And this is the good news. And he's telling you now, don't let your hearts be troubled, because I'm preparing a place for you in heaven. And that's good news. You won't have bills there. You won't have struggles. You won't have to do taxes. You won't have to listen to another political debate. You won't have to worry about drought or a virus or any of it. No sadness, no death, no carjackings, no hit-and-run drivers, no worrying about your kids or your mom and dad, because God will have it all and there will be nothing to fear. God is preparing a place for you. Jesus says, you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas says, I don't. Because it's true to form, the disciples by and large were not getting the stuff that Jesus was saying to them. You know, it's another thing. If you were faking these gospels, you would definitely make yourself look a lot better than these guys do. Because Jesus is always telling them stuff, and they're going, I don't get it. Thomas says, how do I know the way? Jesus kind of gets intense with him. And then he says the thing that you need to hear. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, we talked last week about an exclusive claim. There is no claim more exclusive than this one. No one is going to heaven unless they believe in me, Jesus says. No one. Not the Buddhists, not the Hindus, not the Mormons, whatever else you want to fill in the blank. Only if you believe in me, Jesus says, are you going to heaven. Now, I know that's a scandalous claim. I know in today's day and age, telling somebody that they're wrong about something and that there is another truth, the actual truth, the thing that is, I know that's scandalous. And I know that is seen as exclusionary and all kinds of things like that. The claim that it's only Jesus is scandalous in our day and age. But like Luther said, if you don't like it, take it up with the author. It's what God says about himself, and therefore it's what we Christians must say about him. And we don't hate Buddhists, and we don't hate Hindus, and we don't hate Mormons, and whatever other thing you want to fill in. We must speak the truth in love to them. But we cannot equivocate. Jesus says, I am the only way to heaven, and we must say that too. For he is God, and we are not. And there is not good news in counterclaims. There is only good news in the blood of Christ shed for you. And if you believe that, he will take you to that place that he has prepared for you in heaven. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus is saying, I am God in the flesh. I am of one substance with my Father. You are looking at God. And this is a trump card for all historic philosophy and religious studies programs. People will say to us, you've never seen God. You don't know. How can we get up into heaven and see God? We've never been to the afterlife. We can't know these things. We can't know that this is true. How do you know? That's true. We can't climb up into heaven and see God. We can't go to the afterlife and still be here and know these things. But our trump card is this. What if God came to us? What if God took flesh and dwelt among us? And he did. That's true. I've never been to heaven and seen God. And neither had the people of Jesus' day. But they had seen God in the flesh standing in front of them. Jesus Christ, the crucified one. He would say things to them like, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They're probably looking over his shoulder, going, where's that at? Where's the kingdom of heaven? Jesus is telling them, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm here. I have come to you. I am the prophet who was coming. I am the Messiah who the whole Old Testament talked about. I'm him, and I'm here. And I'm telling you, don't let your hearts be troubled and don't believe in anything else, for I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father, Jesus said. I and the Father are one. We are one. You're speaking to God. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Believe me when I speak to you and look at my track record, he says. What have I done? I calm the storms. I cure incurable diseases. I cast out demons. I have wisdom that confounds your smartest. I raise the dead. And I am telling you, believe that I and the Father are one. This is a divine and exclusive claim, and this is the good news that should take the trouble out of your heart. Because the one who is God in the flesh, the one who has every right to put us in hell on account of our sins and our unfaithfulness and our rebellion and our self-serving nature, has not come to condemn us but to save us. Let not your hearts be troubled. Christ has been crucified for your sins. Let not your hearts be troubled, for he is coming back to take you with him to the place that he has prepared for you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. It's easy to look around and see much to be sad about, much to be scared of, much to fear in the future. And let's be honest, it's really easy to look inside of ourselves too and see things that we should be afraid of, right? In all those deep down dark places that we never talk about, we know who we are. And there is much to be ashamed of and much to be afraid of, much to feel guilty about. And yet Jesus says, I have come to take away your sins. What does the text say? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? This is a promise. This is not a nice thought. You know, you see those quotes on the internet sometimes or in a book, you see these quotes, it's like, that's a nice thought. This is not a nice thought. This is a promise from God. This is not a bumper sticker. This is a fact. Jesus forgives your sins. Jesus died to forgive your sins, that you would be free and that your hearts would not be troubled, that you would live in today in the purpose that God has given you, whatever it is, and that you would look forward to the place that he has prepared for you, and that you would not lose heart, that you would not be overcome by TV that sells fear, by politicians that sell fear, by your own heart that naturally inclines to fear, but that you would not be troubled. You know what? I will live today. As Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. While I'm alive, this is wonderful. I am with the Lord, and when I die, I go to be with him, which is better by far. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Now, the last part of this text, truly, truly, I say to you, and we've talked about how Jesus is speaking as a divine person. He speaks as God, not as just another prophet. But I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Now, you might think to yourself, how am I going to do that? We'll talk about that in just a moment. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Oh, here comes the crazy parade of prosperity preachers. Oh, my goodness. Whatever you ask in my name, God's going to give it to you. Well, that's not how it works. Not anything that you ask, but anything that you ask in my name, you see. It's a very different thing. Well, how do we ask something in God's name? You guys know the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, right? We call upon God by his name. And then we begin to ask for things that he's told us to ask for. And those things that he's told us to ask for, he's going to give us. Now, that doesn't mean that God is going to give you a yacht and a timeshare. It just doesn't. And I know you've been told that on TV. I know you've heard that before. That you name it and God's going to give it to you. We were never promised prosperity. We were never promised money and goods and things, power, the glory of men. We were promised that we would have what we ask in God's name. Forgiveness, food, membership in the kingdom. These are the things he gives. These are the things that will be ours. Whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you. We remember Solomon, son of David. Solomon is about to inherit the kingdom. David's about to die. And Solomon realizes something that most politicians never do. I am unfit to rule this kingdom. I don't have my father's wisdom. I don't have his relationship with God. I'm not up to this. Solomon asks God to give him wisdom. He says, God, I don't want stuff. I just want the wisdom to rule this kingdom. And the Lord said, because you've asked only for wisdom, I'm going to make you the wisest man alive. And I'm also going to give you all the stuff too. But Solomon in his wisdom realized that all the stuff didn't matter. You know what Solomon told us? He writes the entire book of Ecclesiastes. Keep in mind, Solomon had more money than anybody, more power than anybody, more reach than anybody, and he was the smartest guy in the world. He also had 1,000 women, right? Solomon had everything that everybody thinks they want. And you know what? The first lines of Ecclesiastes are, all things under the sun are meaningless. Why does he say that? Because everything here is temporary, except the wisdom. Solomon says to us this, and I'm not kidding, this is a paraphrase, but look it up for yourself. At the end of the day, fear the Lord and have dinner and drinks with friends. That's as good as life gets. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Confess your sins to God continually and be honest and be free. Know that he forgives your sins. Know that he is with you and for you. Know that you have nothing to fear and enjoy these days. Last thing about this text, maybe you didn't catch. The end, he gives us stuff to do. But I want you to notice this. God gave and told you not to be worried before he gave you anything to do. So often as Christians, we think, I will live a good life and I will do good things and then I will go to heaven. That's not the scripture. That's not the Bible. That's exactly backward. God says, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to come and take you home. The works came later. We are saved by grace. God does the work of salvation and gives it to us. The text did not say, do the work I've given you to do, and then I'll reward you at the end. It says, here is heaven. I will take you there. Now do what I've given you to do. The works are secondary. The grace comes first. God's mercy always comes first. We love because he first loved us. And in that knowledge, go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let your spirits be light. Believe in God and believe in Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Believe in the Holy Spirit who brings you good news. Oh, and believe that your sins are forgiven and that heaven is your home. Believe that he's coming back. And now be about your Father's business without consequence, without fear. For we all live by grace, or we don't live at all. And we have his grace always, and more than we are ever going to require. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. And let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus wins, and you win too, on account of his blood shed for you. Amen. And now may the peace of the Lord, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.